Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my friend who likes to correct people. Frank, how are you?
I do it to correct people, actually.
Yeah, you do.
Especially their grammar.
Yeah, I know. That was
one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Grammar is a good thing to correct.
Yeah.
Also, being alive. Yes.
Yeah. But you correct that.
Yes, indeed. Happy Halloween. Yeah.
Happy Halloween, my friend.
Happy Halloween. You're wearing orange headphones.
That's true.
Which is like pumpkins.
It is.
Yeah.
Now there's I would ask you, what are you drinking? But I actually literally don't know what we're going to be drinking.
All right. So I love Halloween. You know this about me.
Tim loves Halloween. Tim loves Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween. Why do we still do that joke?
It's been years. Because it's been years,
right? Is this our third annual Halloween special?
Yes.
Or fourth?
Fourth. Because we're in the third season of Supergirl. Which would make this our fourth year of Beer with Geeks.
Yeah, wow.
That's crazy.
We've been doing this for a while, man.
That's crazy to me. Okay, so I bought Halloween themed beer.
Yeah.
And I hope you get the joke.
I hope I do too.
Okay, so
I like Star Wars too.
I was thinking of that the other day. Actually, I don't even know why it was in my head. Why did I tie the bag so tightly?
No.
I bid you welcome to have this beer. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
We are drinking Rosemary's
Yes,
Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. I've had this before. I love this beer. Scary good pumpkin ale. Rosemary's Baby. Yes, I've had it before.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
I've never seen the original Rosemary's Baby, but I did see the Zoe Saldana remake.
Oh, how was that? I never actually saw that.
It's fine.
Okay, see, the original goes really creepy. It's like 70s creepy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw. Okay, this is unreal. It's kind of related because it's a horror movie.
Sure.
So there is a movie called Julia that I was supposed to watch for Academy Rewind.
Okay.
Which is Jane Fonda. And her friend, who's a spy during the 40s and not in German occupied in Nazi occupied Germany, and all this stuff. And okay, no problem. That's the movie I'm supposed to watch.
Okay,
I rent on iTunes the movie Julia, which comes out in the same year, starring Mia Farrow. However, the description of the movie does not match the people who are listed in the movie. It's very confusing. I don't know what. So I start watching this movie with Mia Farrow, the 70s horror, you know, like queen, because, you know, Rosemary's Baby.
Right.
And there's just this couple, this mom and dad and a daughter sitting at the table, and everybody's eating their food. And I'm not really sure what's going, because I don't know where Jane Fonda is yet. And I was like, that's not Jane Fonda. That's Mia Farrow. I didn't know she was in this movie. And I'm watching this movie, and the little girl's like, the camera's only on her, and you can't see the parents' heads in the frame.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, dad, can we go here? And he's kind of ignoring her and blah, blah, blah. Then the girl starts choking. And one thing leads to another. The girl dies on the floor while her parents are trying to resuscitate her. But this movie came out a few years, 68, not 78, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it doesn't matter. The it's a couple years before the Heimlich maneuver came out.
Oh.
And so before it was popularized. So these parents just watched this girl die, and I'm sitting there like, what is this movie about? Like, when does Jane Fonda show up and fight Nazis? Because that's the movie I was promised.
So the description said that it was a Jane Fonda Nazi movie.
So it was,
but it was a Mia Farrow letting her child die movie.
It's a movie about Mia Farrow's marriage that falls apart, and then she's haunted by the ghosts of her dead children when she moves to Britain in this new house.
Oh, God.
It was super creepy, and I was so into it. And then I realized I was watching the wrong movie, and I was like,
oh my God,
want to watch this one. Turned out the Mia Farrow one was better than the Jane Fonda one, too. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just a whole bad mess all around.
Just adding insult to injury.
So that was my Mia Farrow story.
Cool.
It having to do with Rosemary's Baby.
All right, cool.
So let's open it up. Indeed. And one, two, a three.
All right, cheers to you, my friend.
Cheers to you. And mm-hmm.
So good.
Oh, that's so good.
So good.
I love the can, too.
It's
the
such
carriage
a cool can.
That's like the baby pram that's also a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, super cool. Oh, excellent choice of beer. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Aged in rum barrels. Oh, that's why you get that kind of like...
Mm-hmm. That rum taste.
That rum taste. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great beer.
Oh, such good beer. Oh, man.
You know who could really use a beer?
Who, pray tell?
Is my buddy, Jack Nicholson.
Jack Torrance.
Also known as Jack Torrance in The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made you watch The Shining for our special Halloween episode.
Yes.
Because it is one of my all-time favorite films. And I don't think you'd ever seen it before.
I've not ever seen it before.
So what, my friend, did you think of what is considered one of the scariest movies of all time?
It wasn't that scary.
It's not that scary. That's why it's one of my favorites, because I'm a super scaredy cat.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So I really enjoyed it.
Good.
I did not know a whole lot about it, and I'll tell you why. I've never seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest either.
Okay.
And there are a lot
did
of...
you combine them together?
Well, there are tropes that I thought were from Cuckoo's Nest that are actually from this movie, as it turned out. And so as they popped up one by one, I was like, that's from this one, too. Oh, that's from this one, too. God, what's left?
No.
Maybe it turns out I don't know anything about Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson, that's where it ends. That's all I know.
You know, that's funny that you brought up Cuckoo's Nest, because I just watched High Anxiety for the first time, Mel Brooks film, which is a spoof on Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
I thought it was a spoof on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh,
I don't know why. Because Nurse Ratched, film.
Okay.
I was very taken aback when I was like, oh, I love Alfred Hitchcock. This movie's way funnier than I thought it was going to be. It's weird that you brought up Cuckoo's Nest.
I think just because purely the Jack Nicholson connection, I got them confused for
that.
But so there were things that popped up one by one where I was like, oh, that and that.
Like what?
Like, Here's Johnny. And
you thought,
like,
it was from Cuckoo's Nest.
That one I wasn't sure. I guess I knew that was from The Shining, actually, because that's like on the cover and the poster.
Yeah, I
think I knew that was from Shining. But All Work and No Play Makes Jack a Dull Boy, that I definitely thought was Cuckoo's Nest. Something else that I'm not thinking of right now. There were a couple
of things. The Blood in the Elevator.
No, not so much. That I didn't even know about.
Okay.
Danny riding the trike inside, I thought was from The Omen.
Oh, totally. I could totally see that.
I thought that was Damien
from
The
Omen. Also, an amazing film. I love The Omen.
Never seen that one either.
Great film.
Yeah.
Maybe we could watch that on Halloween.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
Because it's 70s.
You mean today? Today is definitely Halloween.
No.
As we're releasing this.
It's tomorrow. We're hanging out 2 days.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Pay no attention to the podcasters behind the curtain.
Meanwhile, it's like February.
Flip table.
We recorded it 6 months ago.
That would be amazing. We somehow got a better idea for a Halloween episode, so we pushed this one back. So we're like, oh, what a blustery October day, and it's like the middle of a snowstorm in February.
We're trapped inside when we record 8 months worth of podcasts in 2 days.
Like they're trapped in the hotel in The Shining.
It comes back. Okay. So, yes. So I enjoyed it. I also was waiting for it to get violent.
Oh, sure.
For about
2 hours.
2 hours. And then 2 hours and 15 minutes. And then the last 30 minutes, it was just like, here's Johnny.
Yep.
But, it was, I was looking for that. I was interested in how early on in the film they explained to us what The Shining is.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was just sort of like, what does that title even mean? Mm. What is, what? I don't get
He's got the shine.
He's got the shine. All right. So they explained that pretty quickly. And then it kind of took a back. Like, I thought that was going to be like, oh, it's the, like, the house is doing things to them, whatever. And it is.
I've got some stories to tell you.
Yeah, okay. I would like you to.
Because the film doesn't really tell you.
Have you read the book?
Yes.
Does the book explain it better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was the feeling I got, because I felt like they were leaving some things for you to infer.
Yes. Kubrick likes to have you infer.
Yeah, he does.
This movie, I think, actually kind of gets hit a little because it doesn't tell you enough. So it does, like, for instance, it doesn't really tell you that, like, so Danny has the shine, mm-hmm. but so does Jack.
I suspected he did.
Okay.
Because he was... He had, like, sort of his own imaginary friends. He had his own Tony, right?
That's right, exactly.
So I suspected that's what it was, but they weren't explicit about it. So I was unsure. Is he just crazy? Is the house haunted and doing things to him, or does he have the shine?
So the house is the hotel is haunted, but the ghosts in the hotel gain power from the shine.
I see.
So the fact that there's two people, so there's Danny and Jack that come in with the shine is what has them manifest.
Okay.
They're like,
and that's the, how,
which is why the hotel can just function regularly without people committing murder.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Cause when the hotel's in season, let's say,
right,
there's no one with the shine
there's
around.
No
so
one
it's
shine.
Just a regular hotel.
Right. Because billions of people exist on the planet.
Right.
Like
right.
a handful have the shine.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. Okay. Okay. That's good. How about as I explained how the butler, Mr. Grady. Thank you. That's how Mr. Grady was able to unlock the door and let Jack out.
Yes,
because he was given power by Jack.
He was given power by the shine.
Okay.
So, the film has an alternate ending too. So that's the real, like, technically that's the real explanation, right? That the shine gives the haunted spirits of the hotel power to do these things like unlock the door and whatever else.
Right.
There's a scene that was cut from the film. So there's this I'll tell you about the scene that's still in the film. So before Danny goes into the haunted hotel room, there's a ball that rolls to him. He's playing on the carpet and a ball rolls out of nowhere and he looks around and nobody's there. Mm. And so he kind of gets up and wanders around and whatever else. At the end of the film, when Wendy and Danny are in the hospital, the hotel manager shows up, right? And he goes to see if they're okay and everything like that. And I think he throws the ball to Danny, or he leaves and he like throws it up and down to himself, something like that, implying that he set all of this up.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, for giggles, whatever. So there are no actual ghosts in the hotel.
It was
but
all...
it's just a big elaborate scheme for whatever reason.
Mm.
So like all the, like the party scene and all the like all the Mr. Grady and all that stuff implied that those are real people that show up, like the bear and the guy in the room, like in the car, like all of that stuff is totally real just to freak this family out or whatever.
Total mind fork.
Right. So there's also another deleted scene in the film where Jack discovers a book of clippings in the basement, and this book is like all the murders that have taken place at the hotel over the course of the years, because at the end of the film you see the photo of the party from the 20s
and Jack's in it. Yeah.
So the implication is that they are part of a reincarnation cycle.
Okay.
And so the last time Jack was there, he was there with his family and he murdered them in the 20s.
Yeah.
And now they're reincarnated back in the 80s, and they're doing it again.
Okay, I was wondering if that was what it was supposed to be.
That they're in a vicious cycle of reincarnation, and every lifetime, these three come to the hotel and do this terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the murders that Jack sees in the book, it's all different names, you know, but you know, in sometimes different circumstances, you know, like, so like that party that Jack's at,
yeah,
like all of those guests got stuck there in a snowstorm.
Okay.
And that's, so they're having a big party.
I see.
And so it would be during that snowstorm in the 20s that Jack being there, because he said, oh, Mr. Torrance, you've always been the caretaker here.
Right,
you know,
right. Yes,
like,
yes,
because
yes.
He was there the last time.
That's what I, so that's what I, when I saw the photo at the end, that line, you've always been the caretaker, rang in my head. Mm-hmm. And I figured, okay, so that's why he was telling him that. It's because he was there then with the last time this happened.
That's right.
Okay.
He's
so,
always
so
there.
So is it supposed to be then assumed that all the names in that book, all the families that had that happen to them were all him
they're
and his
all him
they're all him.
And okay. They're all him in his okay. in his family.
Okay.
Which is messed up.
Interesting. Yeah.
What a terrible lot in life.
Now in the beginning, I'm not great with names, so forgive me. At the beginning of the movie, when the hotel manager or whatever it is,
Mr. Ullman,
tells him, oh, you know, did you hear about what happened here, you know, last time?
Yes.
Was that supposed to be him also?
That was with Delbert Grady. Yeah, I don't think
that
was
Grady. So
that was
okay,
Grady.
So it was Grady.
I don't
okay.
think that was okay. supposed to be him. You know, so like other murders can happen like it's that a, are okay. not him.
Yeah.
But they do exist.
So presumably the Grady that we saw from the 20s,
yes.
this is him before he did that. This is like
no,
him frozen in time before he committed that
no,
murder.
He did. Well, technically, I guess, yes. And so because he, in that scene in the bathroom, which is my favorite, it's my favorite scene in the film.
Oh, true. He tells him I had to
correct
her.
That I corrected them. You know, you need to correct them. That guy's great. He's so good. So
creepy.
He's so creepy. I love the way. His name's Philip Stone.
So good. And I love what Kubrick did, this thing where he didn't ever like shoot him straight on. I don't know if this was intentional or not, if I'm reading too much into it, but like for most of that conversation, you don't really see much of his face. You kind of see him in profile and not mm-hmm. even like full on profile. It's sort of like almost like 25% of like the back of his head. It's like this weird,
when
this
you
weird
say,
angle.
When you say that Kubrick do that on purpose,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
he did everything on purpose.
He did literally everything
on
purpose.
I know, you're right. But yeah, I thought that was super fascinating. And it wasn't until he started talking about correcting them, I think,
that's when
that
you
see
his
face.
Profile yeah. face. And the way that it shot the red bathroom and the red in his eyes and it all, it's so meticulously well done. That's like, because Kubrick, for me, is really hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I either really like the film or I was whatever. You know, like, I love Dr. Strangelove. And I love The Shining. I don't give two hoots and a holler about 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I don't care about 2001 either. I do love Dr. Strangelove as well. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, the film leaves it very ambiguous, but the point of the film is that this is a man who is already disgruntled with his family, right?
Right.
You know, like you get that sense, like when even when he's in the hotel and he calls home, he's like, yeah, hi, Wendy, I'm going to be home. And then when
yeah.
they're driving up in the car, he's
so
like,
you got the job? Right. Yeah. Anyway, so like he
yeah.
was just so dismissive.
He's so
a terrible man.
Always
like,
awful man.
Like even before he becomes goes on a murderous rampage,
never,
he's an awful person.
You're never once on his side. That's actually
no.
one of the problems with the movie. Like Wendy's not great either. I don't really like.
She's, I don't know if it's how she's written in the book as well, but she's such a flat, like not realistic, unrealistic character.
Well, so
where she just like changes the subject. She doesn't talk like people talk. She changes the subject immediately to like, well, anyway, that thing you just said to me was horrendous, but the weather's nice, right?
Yeah, that's totally. She diffuses, I guess.
Yeah,
where she just deflects the conversation, right? The book is very interesting because the film is presented as like this very dysfunctional family, and you know there's dysfunction, and then they like you can see it on them, like especially like when they're in the car driving to the hotel. He's like, you hear? He heard it on the television.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is It's all, and then you learn that, like, you know, Jack broke Danny's arm. He said it was by accident,
yeah.
But you know, in like there's different levels to their disgust, I guess. But they're not great to begin with. It's all just like this weird facade, and they barely hold that together. Wendy does not help.
No. Hey, question. Mm-hmm. So you made me think of something. When he's at the bar,
mm-hmm.
and the bartender is pouring him a drink.
Yeah.
So I at first was thinking, well, he's like hallucinating the bartender and he's pouring himself a drink.
Right.
And he's having like a fake conversation with a fake bartender is not there.
Right.
But is it really the shine that is actually like if you were another bystander in the room, would you just see like a bottle of Jack Daniels pouring itself?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so. Mm. Well, see, that's an interesting question. So I don't think you would actually see, you wouldn't actually see just the bottle of Jack Daniels. You would also see
the bartender.
You would also see the bartender, Lloyd, the bartender.
Lloyd.
Who was in Blade Runner. He was Mr. The guy with the glasses, the head of the corporation there.
Mr. Tyrell?
Mr. Tyrell, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can see it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was only like 4 years later or something. Like,
yeah, just about 80 to 84, whatever it was, something like yeah. that. Yeah. So I don't think so, because Wendy sees the guy in a bear costume going down on the, you know,
true.
So
yeah, yeah.
So I don't actually think so. Danny's shine is so powerful that he makes them all manifest, or like the two of them together, because Danny's shine is more powerful than Jack's.
So the woman in the bathtub, Danny saw her. And then Jack also saw
right,
her.
Right, Danny saw her first.
Right.
So Danny kind of makes them manifest because his power is so great.
Mm.
And Jack kind of fuels them on top of that, I guess.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, because Jack sees Lloyd before he sees the woman in the bathtub.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And then why is it that Jack comes back and says that he didn't see anything when he saw the woman in the bathtub?
Well, probably because he sees a beautiful woman turn into a age kind of before his eyes, and then he sees her dead in the tub, and it kind of freaks him out. He's like, I'm just gonna ignore this.
Okay.
You know, so I think it's just more of a, because he doesn't like Wendy anyway. They're not in an open, honest relationship.
No,
here,
that's true.
You know, so the film is very interesting because the way it's presented, because the book is about the perfect family that crumbles.
Right.
And so Wendy was a cheerleader, and and Jack was like this. Jack is like on top of his game, whatever. And there's an underlying text of Jack's alcoholism and him breaking Danny's arm by accident and all that stuff. But they don't appear that way. They are good people, you know, and they appear to be in some way. So it crumbles that way. Whereas you see Jack Nicholson and go, he's going to murder his family.
Right.
You know, there's actually no question about it. And I think like when he gets to that point, he does look very scary.
You know,
and you know, give me the bat, you know. Like,
yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. That's so.
So I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your skull in.
Right.
You know, like all of that is, it's delivered really well by a man who looks very eccentric to begin with. But I think there's more power in if that part's played by Tom Hanks,
yeah,
you know what I mean? When Tom Hanks snaps and tries to kill his family, there's a real sense of like,
whoa,
threat there,
yeah,
because you're like, well, but it's just Tom Hanks.
Right.
Why are you trying to kill your family?
Right.
You know, and I think that there's a greater fear to that than what we maybe see in what is obviously going to happen.
What are your favorite, like, what makes this one of your favorite films? What are the things about it?
I love the story, despite what I just said about, like, it not being the perfect representation of the book or whatever.
That's okay.
That's okay. That doesn't always make it or break it for me. I really like the tension build.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like that it actually even really starts with tension. You know, there really isn't any kind of, you know, there's like problems at home with, hello, Mrs. Torrance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which that kid, whose real name is Danny, did on his own in his audition.
Really?
He came in with that.
With like the finger thing
for
Tony? With
the finger thing and the voice, and they were like, this is the kid. That kid also didn't know he was in a horror movie. They were so so protective of him.
Okay, I've heard this too, and I think I thought this was The Omen also.
Yeah, he thought he was in a family drama. And because they were so protective of the things that he saw and what he was a part of on set,
sure,
that he just was in a movie. And he didn't even see The Shining until years later.
Oh, sure. I would hope not. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Of course. Right. Kids so young. Which I loved about that, because Kubrick, you hear crazy, crazy stuff about. You know, like part of the way I love the film is what happened behind the scenes. I find really interesting, like the way he treated Shelley Duvall was terrible. The crew wasn't allowed to talk to her, and and everyone treated her really poorly because Kubrick demanded that she feel isolated. So that would come across in her performance.
Interesting.
She cried so much during the making of this film, she became dehydrated.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how, like, and Kubrick, you hear, like, do it again, do it again, do it again,
right,
do it again,
right,
do it
right,
again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that, and she, like, by the end of, like, some scenes, she couldn't even cry anymore. She was completely out of water in her
wow.
body to cry. The scene with Halloran and Danny eating ice cream, where
yeah.
he tells them about The Shine, shot that 88 times.
Oh, my God.
And the kid apparently was like, all right, let's do it again.
Yeah, more ice cream, that's
yeah,
fine.
Whatever, yeah, whatever, it's fine. I'm just going to eat my ice cream.
That's fine with me.
Crazy. Halloran wow. is the voice of Alley Cat from the Aristocats. Everybody wants to be a cat. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fun.
Okay.
Fun, right? So anyway, going back to what I love about this film,
yes.
I love some of the behind, like, I love that kind of thing. I mean, a lot of movies have stories.
Oh, sure.
You know, but this movie, this film invented the Steadicam. Like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so those shots of, like, following Danny around the hotel on his little tricycle, why do you think there's so many, if you watch the movie again knowing that, there's so many Steadicam shots in this movie.
1980?
1980.
That makes sense. Adds
yep.
up. Checks
yep.
out.
Checks out. Yep. No Steadicam shots in Star Wars. Checks out.
So not until Return of the Jedi.
Not until Return of the Jedi. Yep. That's your little barometer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Crazy. And so, like, I love what the film did. I love what the film does for the industry, I guess. That's, like, one of the reasons that I really like the film. But I love the slow tension. I think the set is unbelievably good. Because it's not a real hotel.
It's not?
It's a set.
I for sure thought they went to, like, a real hotel.
They did for some things. Most of it's a set.
Wow.
So the light pouring in to, like, that natural light that you see, 100-watt light bulbs.
Damn.
Apparently, it was so incredible. It was, like, 80, 90, 100 degrees on set all the time because the light was just pouring in
wow.
all the time. So if you look at some scenes, like, Jack Nicholson is, like, profusely sweating.
In the winter.
Even in the winter, even though it's supposed to be frigid, he's wearing a giant turtleneck because it's so warm what he's looking
wow.
at.
Wow. Yeah, I for sure thought that they must have actually found a hotel and, like, you know, used that as, like, on location.
It's there. Modeled after a real hotel in Colorado.
Okay.
I believe. You can go and stay in the creepy room
oh,
and all
cool,
that
cool.
stuff. Yeah. People keep stealing the numbers off the door, apparently.
Oh, that's funny.
So, like, the hedge mage... Like the hedge maze, that was tough. Totally created for the film.
Wow.
In the book, it's hedge animals that come to life.
Oh,
actually, and everyone was like, "Can't do that." 1980. Like,
yeah.
It's gonna look either dumb, and we don't like it. So yeah. let's do a maze instead. Kubrick scoffed at the maze. They said it's too easy. You've created a whatever. So the crew took him out on a Saturday. Set him loose in the maze, got lost, couldn't find his way out.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
High five.
Thanks.
High five. All right. I love that, so all of that's there, and it all works so well together cohesively as a good film. But I think it's the real underlying danger and tension of scenes that I really love. Conversations that have no business feeling like they should be dangerous
yeah.
feel dangerous.
Yes. Yeah.
Like even the scene with Tommy and O'Halloran when he's talking about The Shine feels dangerous. Like something terrible is going to happen.
Well, at that point in the movie, I couldn't tell who, like, there was all this very heavy foreshadowing of he killed his whole family.
Yep.
Oh, but I was like, Danny seemed like the more dangerous one with mm-hmm. like having the little boy who lives in my mouth.
That's right.
So I was like, is he going to be the one who goes crazy and kills them?
Oh.
Or like, is his dad going to have to kill him so out of self-defense or something? Like how's this going to turn? You know, like I had the feeling that, like, you know, Jack was a terrible, no good, horrible, bad person or whatever, but I was like, Danny seems like the dangerous one.
Yeah.
He seems like the possessed one, like the demonic one. So,
yeah, and he's really not. I mean, he sees terrible things. He sees the twins.
But he doesn't do anything.
No, he doesn't really do anything. He is just along for the ride,
right.
Technically.
I just have so many. It's like, I feel like I had so many questions along the way because I'm like, but Jack didn't really know he was bad yet at
right.
a certain point. Like when he has the dream that he killed.
Yep, that's right.
Them, but, Wendy and Danny. But yet, this whole winter. he's been writing a novel that is just one sentence over and over again.
I don't think that he even knows that that's what he's writing.
Okay.
I think that's like, because there's that scene where he's just staring out the window. He's in a black turtleneck and it's like, boom, Wednesday. And he's just,
yeah,
he's just staring out the window. And I think that's really, that's, it's just the sound of like growing, yeah, tension. That's, I think, where he really snaps. Because all the scenes before that, all of his writing, he's not writing. He's throwing up a ball against the wall.
Sure, he's
totally stuck. So it's not until he actually starts to write that after, like during that bit, that's when he snaps and he starts to. So he's already snapped when he sees Lloyd.
I see.
And you get that a bit when, before you see Lloyd, he's talking right to the camera and he's like, well, how are you? It's real Joker like, you know, and then he's got his big Joker laugh.
Yes.
And then you see Lloyd. That's.
The entire time I was watching this movie,
you knew why he played the Joker.
Anytime he was on screen, I was like, this is only 9 years before he played the Joker.
Yeah.
This is only 9 years before. Like,
and he gained a lot of weight in between that.
Well, I guess he did, yes. But it's not, you know, it's like not that many years away. And he looked quite a bit older, I think,
I agree,
by the time he played the Joker. Maybe that's makeup and whatever. But,
well, it's almost a decade.
It is. It is. But, you know, he looked considerably. He looked like Jack Nicholson by then. He didn't look like. Remember when Jack Nicholson was young?
It's so true.
He crossed that threshold into
the
modern
80s
day.
Were his modern day Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, even though obviously he's considerably older now, but you get my point. So that whole time though, I was like, oh, you can see seeds of his Joker. Like, you can see why he was like the most logical choice for that generation. Like, he was the perfect person to play the Joker.
Agreed.
And it's like, it's that we have just. By the time we were like aware of him outside of being the Joker, it was like, oh, that's the guy who played the Joker.
Right. It's the, opposite.
So for our generation, we don't get the build up to becoming this.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen sort of that peak crazy that he played.
Right.
And everything else is like, oh, this was like before he played peak crazy.
Right. Because his Joker is nothing but a mix between Chinatown and The Shining. You know, like,
okay,
I definitely saw
the Shining piece of it now.
It's the noir gangster bit.
Yeah.
And then it's the, I mean, not, he's not a gangster in The Shining, but you, I mean,
I get
Chinatown,
it. Yeah,
but,
yeah, Chinatown.
And then it's this crazy off the wall. You don't know what he's going to do when he finally snaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joker. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it's great.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. It was, I'm glad that you assigned this to me.
Good.
Because I really enjoyed it. And it's one of those movies that I've always, you know, we could have done this as a hit movie, your best shot type of thing, because it's one of those things that I've always wanted to get around to watching, but I just haven't until now. Haven't had the thought, haven't had the opportunity really. So this was the good motivation that I needed.
Good. I'm glad to help you. I also made you watch The Shining, which is the Simpsons parody, Treehouse of Horror parody.
Yes.
What did you think about The Shining?
I found that very, very, very funny.
It's the best.
It was amusing.
It is one of the best things The Simpsons has ever done.
That was Treehouse of Horror 6? 5?
6.
6.
6. We forgot Grandpa. Season 6. So, but there wasn't a Treehouse of Horror in there first. So it's season 6 of Treehouse of Horror, but it's not their 6th Treehouse of Horror. We forgot. Aren't we going back for Grandpa? Oh, I want to go check out that X collection. It's such a great, like, don't read my mind between 4 and 5. That's Willie's
time.
Willie's time.
It was Treehouse of Horror 5.
5. Okay. Yeah. The first season, they didn't do Treehouse of Horror.
Okay. That makes sense.
No beer, no TV, make Homer go something.
Yeah.
Go crazy. Oh, it's great.
So good.
It's great parody. It's
it was very
tremendously
good.
Funny. Boy, you have The Shining. Oh, you mean The Shining. Hoot boy, you want to get sued? I love that Willie is the Halloran of the
because he's like the ethnic one of the group.
Of the group, right? Well, it could have been Carl.
I guess that's true, but.
But Willie in that episode keeps dying. It's like a running gag.
Yeah.
So it starts as O'Halloran because he goes all the way from Florida all the way to Colorado
to die.
Oh, it's great.
Poor guy.
It's great. But that's part of like the terror of that part of the movie where, like, you know, somebody's got to die.
That's true.
Because when, you know, every time I get, it's about an hour between my house and my girlfriend's house. And
okay,
I get home, I like you know, text me when you get home, whatever. Sure. Recently, I've been sending her the gif of Jack going, Wendy, I'm home.
That's
horrible.
Horrible.
I know.
The image of frozen Jack Nicholson at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Good meme.
I've seen that meme a million times and wasn't sure where it came from. Now I know.
Now you know. Jack's his own downfall. I love that, where he goes into the ick. He doesn't do the maze with them. He doesn't know how to get out of it.
Right.
Because you see Wendy and Danny do it earlier. Danny has a working knowledge of that maze.
Right.
Jack couldn't be bothered to spend time with them, even though it's just the three of them in the house.
Right.
They never spend time together, the three of them.
Right. Right. It's, no, at no point are all three of them like barely even in the same room.
Barely in the same room.
Yeah.
And if they are, Jack's sleeping.
Right.
And so he's totally uninterested in spending time with them. And he's trapped with them. And so he's his own undoing. He's crazy good.
Yeah.
So
really good.
The bits where he was breaking down I'll leave on this. The bits where he was breaking down the doors.
Here's Johnny.
Right. Based, you know, the Johnny Carson thing.
Yeah.
They built fake doors for Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
Little did they know, Jack Nicholson is a volunteer fireman.
Oh, so he could have actually broken down a real door.
No, he did. He smashed through them so quickly. They were like, oh. So they had to put up real doors.
Oh, I see.
So he wouldn't break through them so quickly.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Again, amazing.
Amazing.
I'm not letting that go away.
No, okay.
It
was funny the first time. Why would it be right the next 100 times?
What?
Good times.
Oh, yeah.
Great film. I can't recommend it enough. I don't think, if you don't do well with tension, it's definitely a movie that will scare you.
Yeah. So that's a good way to end this, I think. Yeah. It they never ratchet up the tension throughout the whole movie. It was mounting the whole time. But it wasn't particularly like boo scary, jump cut scary throughout the whole movie. Not until the last, you know, 20, 30 minutes when you know, everything really hits the fan. But
right. But jump cuts don't really exist at that point
in horror movies.
It's not the style of horror that we're at
yet. It's the slow boiling the frog type of horror.
It's The Omen. It's Rosemary's Baby. It's The Exorcist. It's that slow burn. Which doesn't necessarily scare people all the time anymore. Sometimes it does, though. Sometimes it is the worst.
Yeah, it makes you uncomfortable the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting increasingly uncomfortable. And at a certain point, you know, you hit a breaking point where it finally gets scary enough. And then the action kicks in. It's not super action-packed like many, you know, sort of horror movies are today. It's not like tons of blood and gore throughout the entire thing. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, it has its fair share of blood and its fair share of, like, unsettling visuals.
But yeah, blood out of the elevator.
Blood out of the elevator, the woman deteriorating in the bathtub. Like, those are unsettling visuals.
Yeah, even the skeletons and the cobwebs and whatever else, all the dead, because those are all the dead that got trapped in the snowstorm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the guy in the bear costume.
That's so unsettling.
That's so, and that felt so Stephen King. That was so just like, this is just weird, messed up.
For no reason.
For no reason, like gratuitous in a way.
That was not in the original cut of the film. It was added only in the release.
I thought you were going to say it's not from the book, and I was going to be like, you've got to be kidding me. That feels like the most Stephen King thing there.
So I can't remember if it's from the book or not. That's a good question. I haven't read it in so long.
I just feel like guy in a bear costume
so
doing
Stephen King
things to another person feels like very Stephen King.
Because Stephen King's horror sometimes, like, it's either jump or fright or whatever, and sometimes it just weirds, weirds you out.
Messed up.
Yeah, and that's the kind that I don't like. Maybe that's the point. But I messed up horror like that doesn't like the in-between seasons of American Horror Story. No good. I hate that stuff.
I didn't know you watched that show.
Depends on the season.
Wow.
To be honest. Depends on the season.
Okay.
I try everyone, or I used to try everyone, and then eventually I just gave up because it's just like, why are you weird? why are you weird?
Come on, Ryan Murphy. You did Glee.
Yeah, exactly. That show was weird too. No, it wasn't.
Anyway, I really enjoyed The Shining more than I thought I would, for different reasons than I thought I would. Mm. I like a good psychological thriller, and that's mostly what this is, you know, for the most part.
I agree.
So that's, I think, why I liked it so much. So anyway, thanks for encouraging me to watch it.
You are very welcome. I'm glad that you did. So you can find us on the internet at thoughtbubbleaudio.com, where you can check out all of our Thought Bubble audio shows, including Supergirl TV Talk, Hate Watch with Us, Academy Rewind. in Starkville's House of El Krypton. You are also more than welcome to head over to iTunes and rate and review us and find us on all other places that podcasts can be found. You can also head over to patreon.com/stoppableaudio to check out all of our Patreon goodies to see what's happening over there to help us out and to keep the lights on so we can continue to talk about things that don't really matter in this life.
Like horror movies.
Like, nah, they matter.
Nah, they matter.
Yeah. They create jobs for people.
That's true, they do.
That matters.
Yeah.
So I say, until next time, cheers.